Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there. And we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for Granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film Taking Hugh for Granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive, Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, Happy New Year. And how the bloody hell are you doing, mate?
Happy New Year, Digory. I'm doing very well. And it's great that we are swapping our last episode title, Best of 2020, for Death of 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Episode.
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's a new year. Same shit, isn't it, really? Working from home, all that jazz.
Yeah, nothing seems to have gone away from 2020. Yeah, exactly. Nothing new. I mean, we are also those people. My boss sent around a big email the other day to everyone being like, Happy New Year, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, what I really hate more than anything is people that say Happy New Year deep into January. I mean, the date when we release this will be, what, the 17th? And we've just said Happy New Year to everyone?
I've already
the 19th.
I've already said Happy New Year to two people this morning. And it is, you made me feel bad for doing that. But talking of New Year's, it is a pretty good new year for the Take Hugh for Granted podcast, because I'm happy to announce that we have been shortlisted for the Hot Docs Podcast Festival, which is one of the biggest film festivals in Canada. It's sort of in the same realm as the Toronto International Film Festival. And we are one of 12 up-and-coming podcasts to be featured on their headline acts. So if you want to go check that out, you can go check it out at hotdocscinema.ca, and our podcast is going to be featured on that on January the 29th, I believe. So if you're interested, check it out. But we're like super excited about this.
What a buzz. It's so cool. It's wicked. I mean, I feel like I'm finally getting the recognition that I deserve. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm finally... Do you know what? I think I could pack my bags and leave now.
I feel a little bit guilty because you had to be specifically a Canadian citizen to apply for this particular thing. Obviously, I am a Canadian citizen, but I do sound very British, and Diggs, you do as well. So it's going to be like this great like festival of Canadian podcasters and stuff, and then it's going to be two Hugh Grant fans with British accents.
Two British guys talking about probably one of the most famous and very Britishest guys of British guys. But, you know, look, we're going to give them some flavour. You know, we're going to give the festival some much-needed diversity, I'm sure. You know, they definitely need to hear from two British guys talking about another famous white British guy. But hey, we're going to be there virtually hanging out. Again, all virtually, all distance. I'll be still sat here in my mum's basement watching it. But today, we are talking about Death to 2020. And, I mean, bloody hell, should we just get straight into it?
Get straight into it, Diggs.
Let's have a synopsis from Synopsis Simon.
Death to 2020, created by Charlie Brooker and Annabelle Jones, and released on Netflix in 2020. A collection of interviewees, including Dash Brackett, played by Samuel L. Jackson, Janetta Grace Susan, played by Lisa Kudrow, and Tennyson Foss, played by Hugh Grant, take a satirical look back over the events that took place in 2020.
Absolute class there from Synopsis Simon, as per usual. Putting in a shift, even though locked down here in the UK. Absolute hero. Oscar, should we begin as we always do with a spot of Hugh Grant and his look and his character?
Why not, Diggs? It's the only place to start in the new year. I mean, he's unrecognizable again. He has got white hair, which kind of, I think this is what he's going to look like when he's around 80 years old.
And he looks good.
He looks pretty good. I mean, I saw quite a lot of stuff saying that he looked like Michael Caine without the Cockney accent.
I mean, I can see that. And if Michael Caine was like bespeckled as well, I can definitely see that. I think the look was perfect. Like, so he plays Tennyson Foss,
history professor.
A history professor. And he looks like every history professor in these like talking head documentaries. He looks so just like bog standard, bookish, nerdy, old.
As someone who has studied history at university, I can confirm that pretty much every every male lecturer over the age of 60 looked like Tennyson Foss in this documentary. Yeah. Tweed suit,
yeah,
a bit posh, red sort of kind of ugly ties and glasses, and probably has some views you don't want to know.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think instantly I was like, he looks just like David Starkey, a prominent historian. I don't think that was by any fault either, because David Starkey, those of you that know, in 2020 said, he put it as it was a clumsy slip up. It was just very racist what he said. It was just bloody racist. So I genuinely, for me, the likeness between David Starkey and Hugh Grant's look in this, I think they did that. I think they tried to make him look like David Starkey so that it was a bit of a wink, being like, this also happened this year. David Starkey had a what he would call clumsy racist moment.
Well, I think it was also funny as well, because it kind of emphasized to us that in so many documentaries and news channels and stuff, we turn to these old white historians who are so they're removed from reality, basically. They live in their little bubble of academia. And to be honest, why the hell do we get them to talk about anything? They're all most of the time they talk absolute rubbish, and they kind of look like they're off their rocker. So it seems kind of bizarre.
That's so true. Oh, yeah, you're so right. I didn't even think about that. That's such a good reading of it. Yeah, it's like, why do we, like, especially in 2020, we still turn to the old white historian who hasn't ever done anything themselves, but literally just lives in their books. I mean, that's genius. That's so funny.
Well, January started out as usual. The planet was floating in space like it normally does. But as it began to revolve and loom closer, you could see there was this immense natural disaster happening on its backside. The scenes were appalling. I mean, it left these areas utterly inhospitable, even to Australians.
I saw quite a lot of reviews, and in fact, you said before I watched it, I've heard mixed things, don't think it's going to be that good. But when I watched it, I thought it was brilliant, and I thought Hugh was the standout performer, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't just say that because I'm a Hugh Grant fan. I actually believe
that. You sure?
He has got brilliant facial expressions, which I just think are brilliant. Yes. The way he delivers his lines is second to none, I think.
His comic timing, I'm sure a lot of them aren't in the script. His little ad-libs, you know, when, especially he has a lot of chat with the interviewer, and this bumbling sort of character that he's created, you know, a lot of the time it's quite taken aback by what the interviewer says, and he'll make little noises, and like you say, it's all in the facial expressions, it's all in the little ad-libs that he does with his mouth, and he'll, you know, and it's another great example of Hugh Grant totally dressed up, just being really silly, completely letting his guard down and having a great time with it.
And I mean, he hasn't talked much about the show, but something tells me this has got Hugh Grant's own kind of personality and thoughts written all over it. I would hazard a guess that he even pitched this idea, or pitched the person, or at least when he got the script, worked with it a lot, that it had a lot of his kind of stuff intertwined in it, I thought.
Even if that wasn't true, and I think it is true, but even when he received the script, he would have read the stuff against our Prime Minister and things like that, and would have thought, fan-fucking-tastic, I am definitely doing this. You know, because there's a lot of his personality in it, and some of his political views, obviously not all of them, the racist bit, definitely not, but some of his political views are there, and he shares, and so I'm sure he was happy to be part of it.
So being a mockumentary, it really falls right into Hugh Grant's acting lap, in my opinion. And we were talking a bit about some of his lines, and there were some brilliant ones in here that I thought Was there a particular one you wanted to start with, Diggs?
I watched the film on my own, and this was a part in the film, was about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where I was laughing out loud at every sequence, and I was like, okay, this is a good bit in the film. And slap bang in the middle of that, when it was at its peak, was when I think it was the chat around BLM. It was in terms of, you know, the laughs and the jokes. That was the low point of the film. Mm. But it was still, you know, it explained it very well. It resonated well. It hit all the right notes. But after that, we had this real sudden shoot back up, like it's a roller coaster, where the laughs and the jokes were coming in, and some of them were brilliant. And as I say, the high point of that for me is is when Hugh Grant's character is obviously one of these All Lives Matter guys. Obviously.
Black Lives Matter. Well, no reasonable person could disagree with that, but I would prefer to say All Lives Matter.
Yeah, I think the point is they're currently treated like they don't matter.
All lives? I don't think so.
They're black lives.
Oh, those. I'm sorry, what about them?
Well, they matter.
More than all lives. Now, who's being a racist?
I didn't call you a racist.
Yeah, you are. You are just about to label me a bigot. Just like my daughter and her friends. And my son and his friends. And my wife and her friends. And my friends. You can't say anything these days.
It was brilliant. And what I thought was great about the whole thing, in a way, is that this year has felt like such a long year in terms of people arguing at each other. No one can get anywhere. I mean, one of Hugh Grant's lines is about how
polarization is the problem of our age. And not just in America, in the actual world, too. Whether the debate is over Trump or Brexit or science or gender, God help us, or reality itself, no two factions can agree or agree to disagree or even agree that their disagreement might be disagreeable.
Not sure I totally agree.
Well, then why don't you fuck off?
That just sums up what 2020 has been about. I think it makes a lot of people angry, knowing that there's people out there who kind of just on purposely, you know, argue with each other. But I think the way that he sort of encapsulated that argument was quite funny.
Well, I'm taking you. I'm taking you for granted. Well, I'm taking you. Well, I'm taking you for granted.
I was talking to a couple of my friends about it yesterday, and one of them asked a very good question. Shout out to John O'Blake. Actually, he had a big role in starting this podcast in its early inception. He just said to me, like, why did they make it? And I was like, that's a really good point. He was like, every joke about 2020 has already been made. And in some ways, like, this film was a massive open goal. And I think for me personally, maybe that meant that you could only really slip up. And I think that's why there were certain things in here which actually I wasn't such a fan of.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I'm going to disagree to an extent. I think that a lot of critics out here were just looking at the film for criticism's sake. My opinion about this whole thing is that, you know, Charlie Brooker, who created this, he has a great track record, Black Mirror, all that kind of stuff. It's difficult to compare this to that. And I think it was honestly just for all of us who were just fed up of 2020, wanted to get out of it. Stick something on between Christmas and New Year, which the whole family can have a few laughs at. Some of it's more funny than other bits. There's definitely enough in there that you can come away with laughing and be like, oh, you know, when I watched it, everyone who watched it with me was like, well, that was pretty funny. And, you know, that was a good hour well spent. And for me, that's where you draw the line with this kind of thing. Like, I don't think you need to kind of be like, oh, well, you know, it was predictable. Some of the characters I didn't like, all this kind of stuff. I don't think that was the purpose of it. I don't think that Charlie Brooker, as the creator of this, was looking to kind of emulate some of his previous work, particularly here.
For me, it's similar to how my views are on The Gentlemen. You know, when we watched that, I watched The Gentlemen and I very much enjoyed it. There's not much substance behind that film at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just about, you know, it's British mobsters and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, Hugh Grant being incredible. So there's not much substance behind it. I'm not going to come away and have my life changed. But it is weird how I came out of the cinema and I was like, oh, I really enjoyed it. But the more I thought about it, the less I liked it. And it's I like to try my hardest to remember that moment immediately after I'd watched it and went, that was good. And I wish I could say that was the case here, but unfortunately, during the film, there were things about it that took me out of it. And it wasn't just conceptually. I wasn't just like, why have they made this? Like, everyone all year has been dunking on 2020. All these jokes had kind of already been made, and all these memes have already been done. That wasn't my issue. I think if they'd done that well, it would have been fine. But I'm just going to... The word... I'm not going to say childish, but by saying I'm not going to say childish, I've actually just said childish. And that's a bit of a Trumpian move there. But some of the jokes in there did seem quite inexperienced that were written. Jokes such as, and I'll be interested to hear what you think of this bit, the bit when Hugh Grant's character is like,
all this division, all this intractable conflict was tearing humankind asunder at the worst possible time. Because, of course, at the very moment that we were preoccupied with fighting each other, the coronavirus was steadily bearing down upon us. Now, those who've closely studied the history books, such as myself, knew that this was strongly reminiscent of the time the White Walkers led their army of the dead towards the warring factions of Westeros.
So you mean like in Game of Thrones?
No, I am discussing history.
I'm pretty sure that was Game of Thrones.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I am the historian here. Cut to a map or something.
And you know, for me, that just didn't work. It didn't make any sense. I mean, in other parts of the films, he says things like, you know, the thing about Boris Johnson, you know, he sort of makes a joke about how helpless and hapless he is. So he's a switched on guy who's aware of things, who doesn't just suddenly think that Game of Thrones is real. And I know you'll be like, oh, well, you know, it's not real. He's a character. It's silly and stupid. Yes, it's silly and stupid. And I love silly and stupid. I like silly and stupid when it's funny. And this isn't funny. No one's going, oh, he thinks Game of Thrones is real and wetting themselves. And I wouldn't mind if it was a setup to a payoff. But no, when it's pointed out later in the film that Star Wars isn't real, he just says, shut up.
That didn't hit the mark, but for me, yeah. I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I thought it might hit the mark for Game of Thrones fans. But
not at all.
Okay, well, if it didn't, then
yeah.
then yeah, it didn't work. But it was one of those jokes where, you know, in my opinion, in something like this, you're not meant to... You might not get every joke. I didn't get that joke, so I was like, whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, I've just chosen that one example because that didn't land. But I mean, there were more that I don't want to just list loads off because that would just be boring for everyone else.
It wasn't good enough for film critic Diggory and his intellect, was it? It wasn't good enough for you. It was good enough for simple Hugh Grant fans like me, Diggs.
Look, I loved the Hugh Grant bits. That's what... Do you know what annoyed me? That's why I'm giving the Hugh Grant moments is because I'm like, even Hugh Grant... couldn't perform his way out of some, for me, not great writing.
Well, you're listening to Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted on the radio. Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted, oh, the podcast show.
One thing I would like to bring up, and I think one thing for us that is very important, is during the whole Black Lives Matter movement, a certain statue was torn down. Edward Colston, which I thought the way they described him was really funny in the show. They described him as...
slave trader and statue, Edward Colston.
But I thought I'd bring that up, Oscar, because obviously we went to Bristol University.
Yes.
As people will know when they hear the intro. And I like that they put that bit up. And even Hugh Grant got to talk about that in the film.
That was very cool, actually. And, yeah. You know, I think we can both all agree that it was probably about time that Mr. Colston's statue was put in a museum. That's probably for another debate, but it is interesting that the world kind of for one day or a week focus on Bristol. Because I remember when I was doing history at Bristol, we had this particular module where we had to do like the history of Bristol. And one of the things was looking at the slave trade history of Bristol. For those of you who don't know, Bristol is kind of built on slave trade money. There's roads in Bristol called White Ladies Road,
Black Boy Hill,
all this kind of stuff. And a lot of the philanthropy from people like Edward Colston built these massive buildings, beautiful buildings, but a lot of it was on slave trade money. So it's kind of a
dark history.
It's a dark history. Yeah, it's a dark history. Mm. Yeah, I remember learning about Edward Colston, and at that point everyone was kind of like we should probably get rid of him, but it was one of those things which was in the back of people's mind, like, oh yeah, we should probably get rid of that guy, but no one had gone and done it yet. So I guess the Black Lives Matter movement was the impetus to go and really take down something that a lot of people were unhappy about. And Bristol, for those also who don't know, is pretty much the only city in the UK where the black population is greater than the Asian population.
In terms of minorities,
in terms of minorities. So it's got a big black community, Jamaican community particularly, in an area called St. Paul's, where they have the St. Paul's Carnival happens every year, which is very similar to the Notting Hill Carnival.
Yeah, and just to also drive home how wide-reaching Colston's name is around there. I mean, where we held the Hugh Grant meet and greet was in the room very close to Colston Hall, a hall named after Colston. So just for people that don't know, it wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing like, there's a racist, let's take him down. There have been petitions and they've tried to get him taken down in all the relevant and right and, you know, proper channels for ages. And even we knew about that as students. And there was people who didn't want to go to Colston Hall. If we had held the Hugh Grant event in there, no one would have come and we wouldn't have met. You know, because a lot of people, they were doing it even back then. And so it had to be taken down this way, and here we are. But what I also thought was funny is that in this moment in the UK, they had a lot of these old white historians on to talk about the tearing down of Edward Colston's statue.
And you probably know that in the back of their minds, they're all thinking, God, this is dreadful. We should something like this should never happen.
Yes, that's exactly the argument that Hugh Grant makes here.
Look, these people are trying to destroy history.
What if by tearing these statues down, they're actually making history?
Shut up and move on.
Again, that sort of plays both roles there, where one, I'm giving a good account of the whole Edward Colston thing, but Hugh Grant there, the writing can be better than Hugh Grant just being like, shut up.
Yeah, I agree there. It could have been better.
Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking you for granted?
Diggs, the first review of the year 2021. Death to 2020. Are we taking Hugh for granted?
This is so tough, and I think I haven't even figured out what I'm going to say yet. I think there are other things in here that make sure it's great. I mean, one character in particular who I loved was the most average person ever, played by Diane Morgan. You know, the woman who lives
It was great.
She is, I just think, maybe like challenging Emma Thompson for the best actor ever. Like, she was so funny and so great. Also, did you see that she lived on Rashford Way?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and I thought that's funny. A little... For people that don't know, there's a footballer in the UK who plays in the Premier League called Marcus Rashford. There's this whole thing about free school meals for underprivileged kids, and he's really like fighting the government to make sure that they pay out. And it's just another storyline that's going on in the UK in 2020, which I think her living on Rashford Way was a little wink to everyone being like...
Very nice.
You know, don't worry, we didn't miss out on that, which I thought was interesting. But Hugh Grant's character and performance was fantastic. I think it was perfect. It was great. There's nothing else I can say about that. Voice was on point. Look was on point. Obviously, we know, I don't think at points he or the other people on show had some of the best writing to work with. And maybe some of it was quite easy because we've made these jokes in 2020 a lot. But I think on balance, I will say this is not taking Hugh for granted because it's short. It's an hour long. There's some great Hugh Grant moments in there. I laughed heartily at the whole racist bit. I really did. That was very funny. So on balance, I will say just about not taking you for granted. What about yourself?
Well, Diggs, I watched Death for 2020 twice, actually. That's how big a fan I was initially. Well, I didn't actually watch it because I was such a big fan. I just ended up watching it twice. But actually, what it taught me was you see things differently on the second time of watching. Mm. For example, when they have the fake newspaper clippings or the YouTube clips, and then you have all the suggestions on the side and stuff, I thought that there was some detail in there that maybe you might have missed on the first time watching, which I thought was really well done. And yes, I agree with you to an extent. Some of the lines and stuff were a bit predictable, but I thought Hugh Grant, again, gave a great account of himself. And there was an article in The Sun that I saw, which made me kind of angry, which is like, Hugh Grant shocks fans with new white hair look. Those kind of people are taking Hugh for granted because they don't realize that Hugh Grant, this is the Hugh-naissance continuing. We thought that we weren't going to see Hugh Grant on screen again for a while after The Undoing. And we've been blessed by something that just completely fits his mantra, which is a mockumentary. We haven't seen this before. And he played the role perfectly. It's a role that suits him. The lines were delivered brilliantly, and he was one of the standout performers. So I don't think we are taking Hugh for granted here.
There you go. And you can't put it better than that. Also, The Sun.
Yeah, it's not a credible source.
Yeah, I saw a headline by The Sun that made me angry. I was like, yeah, the sky's also blue. fantastic. Well, that's our first review of 2021 under the... This is mental. It's 2021. How have I not... That's literally just hit me there.
It's the third year of Taking You for Granted. The third year.
Oh my goodness, yeah, of course.
Because we started in 2019, so...
Yes, after a long, long pre-production phase of about 4 years, making sure it was absolutely fine-tuned and we were ready to go. I remember actually we first started talking about doing this podcast when About a Boy came out. So what would we have been, about 7 and 8? maybe even younger. But we've, got it to this point now. We're very happy with it. Actually, you know what, guys? Thank you so much to everyone who's listening. There's lots more to come.
There is. It's great. Mickey Blue Eyes on its way. I know I said that in the Christmas special that it was next. I got that wrong, but it is coming soon. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Mickey Blue Eyes is next, and a whole host of Hugh Grant films after that. Ladies and gents, it's been another episode. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.